shootings of two African Americans by police and the killing of five Dallas police officers last week has dominated the nation's attention. For Delmarva Public Radio's George Merrill, it got him to be thinking about the proliferation of guns that now outnumber the American population.
I've been following the gun debate in several newspapers and magazines, trying to make sense of what this is all about. Among the articles I read, I found the following. In the New York Times, quote, "Threatened by long-term declining participation in shooting sports, the firearms industry has poured millions of dollars into a broad campaign to ensure its future by getting guns into the hands of more and younger children." Andy Fink writes, is the editor of Junior Shooters magazine. He writes, quote, "If the gun industry is to survive, gun enthusiasts must embrace all youth shooting activities, including ones using semi-automatic firearms with magazines holding 30 to 100 rounds, unquote. I'm getting a clearer idea of what's happening to our country with regard to guns. I can't say knowing more makes me feel better. Perhaps even more than guns, I find the mindset of gun advocacy the most troubling. Paid advocate for the gun lobby, Dave Grossman, predicts, quote, Americans must accommodate to a future of armed people everywhere, unquote. He means that we must be armed to be safe. The more I read, the more I felt depressed. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, is the gun lobby's present mantra. What's obscured by the slogan, however, is what happens when all the good guys are armed. We will have at least twice the number of guns out there, and exactly who is or who is not the good guy will never be finally determined except over someone's dead body. And even then, we won't be sure. One college student recently shot another student six times in a street scuffle in Philadelphia. Neither were bad guys. Good kids. Good upbringings, as they say. The good guy suddenly became a bad guy because he was carrying a concealed weapon. When the police arrived, the student said, I have a permit. The boy who was shot said, please don't let me die. The good guy formula muddles the deeper issue. More guns lead to increased gun violence. Quote, more American civilians have died by gunfire in the past decade than killed in combat in the Second World War. This comes from the New Yorker. What's bankrolling the proliferation of firearms is an arms industry that needs to increase its sales or go under. What troubles me most is how insidiously in recent years, in order to ensure its survival, the arms industry, working with the NRA, has initiated a marketing campaign that effectively defines gun ownership as the signature guarantee of personal safety. Large multi-million-dollar corporations and their advocates determining social policy is a frightening prospect. Increasing profits will be their primary motive, not society's well-being. Product sales increase when people are taught to be afraid if they don't buy. By creating a catastrophic mentality, like armed people are everywhere, populations can be moved to behave primarily out of fear. We see this fear-mongering attempted regularly in political debates. Author and gun advocate David Grossman describes society as populated by sheep, wolves, and sheepdogs. He says, if you want to be a sheep, you can be a sheep, and that's okay, but you must understand the price you pay. When the wolf comes, you and your loved ones are going to die if there is no sheepdog there to protect you, unquote. This is a view of society dependent on a heavily armed citizenry to settle its grievances, an ideology that reveals a thinly disguised contempt for our country's average citizen and our law enforcement systems. What's most disturbing is how promoting gun ownership as a personal security measure foments an atmosphere of fear and suspicion of one another, the kind of atmosphere that's guaranteed to create the optimum conditions for their use in settling personal grievances. Recourse to violence is invariably the failure of imagination. When I consider the formidable powers of American ingenuity, and we are a remarkable people in that regard, I know we can do better. Congress seems paralyzed by the gun lobby's big money. Legislators may agree that limits on firearms accessibility today is sane and legitimate, but they fear for their seats during the elections. If voters can make their voices heard by speaking out through the various media outlets, many congressmen and congresswomen may become emboldened to stand against the tyranny of violence. George Merrill on the Shore.